is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. How wonderful to be with you today. You know, we're going to continue our series, No King But Jesus. And no Zion without a king. Actually, I've turned that around. It actually should be no Zion without a king and no king but Jesus. But it doesn't really matter because Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And dearly beloved, let me tell you something. Once you accept Jesus as Christ, you have already entered into Zion. And he is your king. But there are some people that don't agree to that. They believe there's going to be an earthly Zion, a kingdom of God right here on planet Earth. They deny what Peter says in the Bible. He says, someday there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus told us to pray that this earth would become as heaven is. In other words, we would fall under the total command of God. And Jesus came, of course, to destroy the works of the devil. And let me tell you something, my friends. In that great city, that heavenly city of Zion, there is no evil power named Satan influencing men's behavior and conduct. Not at all. And that's the great Zion that I have joined. I'm a citizen of Zion. I'll admit it. Proud of it. Glad to be a citizen and a subject of the great king. Our American revolutionaries, when they fought the British and King George, they said, no king but Jesus. What a rallying cry that was. No king but Jesus. Some people say we're to be in obedience to the authorities appointed over us. But remember this, friends, those authorities are appointed over us and ordained in their positions by God. To the extent that they follow God and obey Him as human beings themselves, they deserve our support. But when they begin to fight against God and serve their own interest and those interests of the devil, then they forfeit their right to be honored and served. That's right, my friends. Jesus said it. He says you can't serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money or God and material things. You cannot serve an evil earthly king and pretend that you're also serving God. Got a letter from a man recently. He says, dear Tex, you're wrong about so many things. Well, okay. He said, but the thing that I find most grievous is your lack of understanding that the Bible requires us to do whatever our government tells us to do. And he went on to make a preposterous statement. He said, if you had and I had lived in the days of Adolf Hitler inside Nazi Germany, as good Germans, we would have obeyed everything that Hitler told us to do. Really? He said, everything Hitler told us to do, we would have to do. I wonder how far the man would have had us go. Would you have agreed to be a guard in a concentration camp? Would you have agreed to run a death machine? Would you have agreed to put a bullet in the head of a POW? Would you? According to this man, we're to do everything that a Hitler or a Stalin or a Lenin command us to do. No, I don't think that was God's intention at all. If it were, why is it that John the Baptist, Elijah, and so many others refused to do what they were commanded to do? King Ahab and Queen Jezebel ordered Elijah to shut his mouth and quit preaching about the false priest of Baal. He would not. And they, that is Ahab and Jezebel, sought the life of the prophet Elijah. Who was wrong, Elijah or them? John the Baptist stood up to Herod and said in his lust for Herodias of his own household, an incestuous desire by King Herod, and that also the adultery that he was guilty of. John the Baptist stood up to that. Was John the Baptist wrong? When Nathan found out about the adultery and the wicked crime of King David, yes, even King David, who stole the wife of one of his own soldiers and had that soldier sent to the front lines, knowing he would likely be killed in battle. And David then would have his wife. Nathan, the great prophet, went to the king's court. And there before all of the great men of the kingdom, he pointed his finger at David and he said, "You are that man." In other words, you're that wicked man that has done this thing. Was he wrong? Was it a terrible, grievous thing, a sin even against God, for the prophet Nathan to point his finger at the king? Should we point fingers at those politicians in high office? Or should we, like lemmings being rushed over the cliff into the sea, just follow orders? The concentration camp guards in Nazi Germany said, "We were just following orders." That's what they all say. Listen, friends, there is only one king, and you better follow him when you're on earth, because someday that's the king you're going to want to serve under in heaven. Oh, there's another prince, all right. The prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness. And most world leaders serve him today. And in serving these world leaders, you are serving the devil, because they work for the devil. One man wrote to me and said, "I think you really should shut up about abortion. It's the law. And it's been approved by the Supreme Court of this land." And even if President Clinton was in power at the time, even our president is in favor of abortion. You're sinning because you're fighting abortion. When you fight abortion, he said, the killing of babies, you're fighting God. By trying to save the lives of little children, little babies, unborn babies, this confused, mixed up Christian, so-called, said, "Tex Mars, you're fighting God." You know, friends, many times governments throughout all the annals of history have passed cruel and unjust laws. And if you obey those laws and you think that you're pleasing God, you're dead wrong. I say to you, John the Baptist did the right thing. Elijah did the right thing. And when Jesus himself stood before King Herod, and Herod commanded him to do magic tricks, Jesus didn't lift one finger. He didn't say one word. Was Jesus disobedient to the governmental power over him? Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked him questions, and Jesus would not answer. He stood mute. It had been prophesied that he would stand mute before his accusers. And Pilate said, "Do you not understand? I have the power to send you to death or the power to free you. Don't you know who I am?" Jesus said, "You have no power over me." Wow. Friends, you better get in line and obey the King of Zion. That's the king you better obey. And you better fight evil on this earth, no matter who perpetrates it. I don't care how big the name of the celebrity politician. I don't care whether he's president of the world's only remaining superpower. I don't care if he's from the House of Hanover or the House of Hell. Don't obey him if he's wrong. Obey God. Because there is no Zion without a king and no king but Jesus. Now, we've got a beautiful song. We played a little bit of it last week. We're going to play the whole song today. We ran out of time. It's called Crimson River. Crimson River. It's an old wonderful gospel hymn by the Cathedrals. We're going to have that song, and then we're going to have our message for today. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to write to us, we do need your love gifts, of course, to keep this ministry going. We'd love to hear from you with your comments, with your love gifts, if you'd like to contribute. If you have a prayer need, maybe an illness in the family, maybe you yourself are sick and need of prayer, in need of healing. Maybe you need to heal your spirit. Maybe you're not a Christian. You need to be converted and healed yourself. Maybe you want us just to pray that you'll have more faith. We'll be glad to pray for you. It's our privilege to do so. Just write and say, Dear Pastor Tex, pray for me. You know, you really don't even have to tell me the reason why you want prayer. I think it would be helpful if you would to let me know. And, of course, we'll keep all of our correspondence confidential. Don't worry about that. We'd love to hear from you, friends. And, you know, if you got a prayer request and you want to send a love gift, that's fine. But that's not necessary for us to pray for you. I always like to remind people that some people say, well, if I ask Bible Home Church for prayer, I should send a love gift. Well, that would be like us telling you to pay for a prayers. You know, we charge for them. No, we don't do that. So a love gift is up to you. But I want to tell you right now, whether you give a dollar, $1,000, or nothing, we would love to pray for you, okay? It has nothing to do with how much you give to us, how much we pray for you, okay? There's no, we don't put it on a scale and say, well, he sent a big love gift, we're going to pray more for this man or this woman. No, we don't do that. No, we're privileged to pray for you, regardless of your ability to give, okay? But we do thank you for any love gifts that you're able to share with the ministry. And we feel you're a part of this ministry. Do you know that? You know, the ministry is not just music. It's not just Tex Mars. It's you. You are part of this ministry. Now, Crimson River, and then we'll continue our series on No King But Jesus. And, of course, No Zion Without King Jesus.
From thy the spring, reborn now intercedes for me.
And the Crimson River sets me free.
Crimson
of God's kingdom. It's a war with the people of God. It refuses to recognize that we, the saints of God, are the heirs of the promise given to Abraham. This kingdom is of the devil. It is the kingdom of the beast, this dreadful beast. And this evil kingdom in the last days, and I believe it'll come right out of Jerusalem in Israel, because people are already falling for it. They're helping to build it, the Judaizers are. I beheld, verse 21 of Daniel 7 says, and the same horn, that's a horn is a sign of strength, of power. That's the beast, that horn. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until... At first, he appears to succeed. Why, he even makes war with the saints and prevails against them for a time. Until, and listen to verse 22 of Daniel chapter 7, it says, until the Ancient of Days came. Wow. The beast, the Antichrist, Satan, his earthly kingdom, Illuminati Mystery Babylon, succeeds beyond measure. Until the Ancient of Days came, God, Jesus, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Yes, we'll even possess earth at that time. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand, Tex. I live here, right here on earth. I live in Toledo, Ohio, or Sacramento, California, or Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I don't live in heaven. I don't know what you mean. I'm part of an earthly kingdom. Oh, well, you got it all wrong. Listen to what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Woo! Isn't that a wonderful thing? You've come into Mount Zion when you accept Jesus. unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And to Jesus, verse 24 says, the mediator of the new covenant. My, my. Wherefore, verse 28 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Friends, you've received a kingdom which cannot be moved if you've accepted Jesus Christ. And that is why you should serve God, because God is a consuming fire. You know, Abraham, a lot of people said, well, he was of earth. He was founder of Zion. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was founder of an earthly nation, but he was father of many nations. For Christians come out of all nations. But you know what he was really looking for? He wasn't planning on establishing an earthly kingdom, not Abraham. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. It says, for he, that is Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Whoo! Oh, he was looking for a heavenly place. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, listen to this one. It says, well, let me start with verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. Christ Jesus is our King. And guess what? Paul said that he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A lot of people say, well, now the Jews are going to be over there in Israel, and then the Gentiles are in the rest of the world, and there's going to be an earthly Jewish kingdom, and Jesus is going to be head of us, and that'll be Zion. Well, you just better redefine and use the Bible's definition of what the citizens, the inhabitants of that great kingdom of God, Zion, who they are. Because when you accept Jesus, you were dead in your sins, but you've been quickened. You've been made alive together with Christ, Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 2. And he, that is Christ, has raised all of us up together. He didn't say, someday he's going to raise the Jews. Someday he's going to raise the Gentiles. He's raised us up together, we who were dead in sins, and he has made us sit together, not separately. He's broken down the partition, the Bible says, between the two, Gentile and Jew. He's broken down the partition. And it says here that he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you want to sit there in Toledo or Sacramento and say, this is my home. Yeah, I'm here. I have a king. Yeah, you've got a king, all right. And if you say, but he's not Jesus. Jesus is not my king. He doesn't have a throne in heaven. Well, doesn't have a throne as far as you're concerned. He's not your king. You're right. The devil is your king. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you have said, Lord, you are my king, you are my Savior. You're my everything. Well, he has already raised you up, and you are in heavenly places. You're not here on earth. Oh, your flesh is, friends, but not your spirit. You're part of that holy nation, the new Jerusalem. And it has a king. Yes, it has always had a king. And you were chosen from the foundation of the world to be a citizen of this heavenly kingdom called the New Jerusalem. And someday this earth, even the heavens, will be destroyed. But New Jerusalem cannot be destroyed. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Whew. My, my.
But you say, wait. That has to do with the Jews, not with we Gentiles. Did you know when you become a saint of God, you're not a Jew or a Gentile? You say, yes, I am. I will always be a Gentile. They will always be a Jew. Why, Jerry Falwell, Hal Lindsey, Billy Graham, Robert Shuller, they taught me that. Did they really? Well, I like what the Apostle Paul was taught by God. And he put it in Ephesians verse 11 of chapter 2. And he told Christians to remember something. Let me read it to you. Wherefore, writes Paul, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, oh my goodness, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, verse 12 said, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Oh my, when you were a Gentile in the flesh in time past, before you became a Christian, you were without Christ. You were an alien, and you were not part of the commonwealth of Israel.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.